and move pure light of the light of thy knowledge. Open the eyes of our minds to the understanding of thy gospel teachings. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. Thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies of Christ our God, and unto thee we send up glory, together with thy Father, who is from everlasting, and thy love, holy, good, and life creating Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
Let us attend to wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all.
And to your spirit.
The readiness of the Holy Gospel according to St.
Luke.
Let us attend. At that time, Jesus sailed down to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city, who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. And the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened, and came to Jesus, and found the man from whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him.
Glory to thee, O Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. It says in our Gospel this morning that the Lord sailed down into the region of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. Sailed down. It's one verb, one word in the Greek. He sailed down. One word in the Greek. It's theological, prophetic imagery. It shows this to be an epiphany of the Lord emptying himself to come down from heaven into the region and shadow of death as the light shining in the darkness. And this one word is the imagery of Ezekiel's vision of the mighty river. Itself is a prophetic icon of the Holy Spirit flowing from the Lord's side flowing from the gate of the temple, out of the east gate of the temple, as far as Galilee to the north and the Arabian Sea to the south, healing the waters, it says in Ezekiel, and raising to life every soul wherever the mighty river goes. The imagery here at the outset of our gospel in this one word is of the Holy Spirit overshadowing the Virgin Mary. As he overshadowed the Old Testament tabernacle in the temple, and the Word of God being conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit. All of this from this one word. I have quoted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 passages from Scripture. Passages that are awakened, if you will, that are brought into view from this one word. This one word. This is to say that the Gospels are rich. You know, the Gospels are rich. They're full of theological meaning. You can't just read them as stories. This is theology that we are reading. And if this verb, sailed down, brings us finally to the image of the Theotokos as the Old Testament tabernacle and temple, and of the Holy Spirit overshadowing her as he overshadowed the temple of the Old Testament, so that the Word of God is conceived in her womb, so that it is now God dwelling in the temple of the body of the Theotokos, then all of this is to say that the Blessed Virgin is herself. She is the true living temple of the Old Testament. And since the Lord Jesus Christ took the temple of his body from her, to say that the Lord, the Word of God, sailed down into the region of the Gerasenes, is to say that the holy temple of God, the temple seen in the visions of the prophets, such as Isaiah and Ezekiel, is here on earth, here in the darkness of death. The Spirit of God, in other words, is brooding, like a mother hen brooding over her chicks, over the waters of creation. That's actually the verb in Genesis 1, verse, chapter 1, verse 3. The Holy Spirit, or is it verse 2? The Holy Spirit moving over the face of the waters. The verb is the verb for the mother hen brooding over her chicks. It's the same image that the Lord Jesus Christ himself will evoke when he laments over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you would not. Which tells us that his lament is that Jerusalem, that the Israelites, resisted the mystery of his recreating them into the image and likeness of himself. And so this is telling us that this gospel this morning, insofar as it brings all of this imagery into view, this gospel this morning is a gospel of creation. Because it brings into view the mystery of the Holy Spirit brooding over the waters of the creation. So that those who sat in the darkness of the deep have seen a great light. Not the created light that came to be on the first day of creation, but the uncreated light of the holy sanctuary, of the holy temple of God, the Theotokos, the holy word of God, who is now himself incarnate in the flesh of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. And this is to say that in this gospel this morning, there's a creation that's about to happen. It says that he came upon the earth. I don't remember how it's translated, but that's what it is in the Greek. He came out upon the earth. Here's the image of Christmas. The first theophany, when God the Word appears in the flesh, born as a little child from the Virgin Mary. The temple of the Lord's body is fashioned from the substance of the temple of the Virgin. And in the Holy Spirit, by whom he was conceived in her womb, he comes forth. He comes forth as the mighty river in Ezekiel's vision from the east gate of the temple. The gate, by the way, as it says in Ezekiel chapter 44, three chapters earlier, the gate that remains shut because the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered through her. So if any of your friends tell you that there is no scriptural evidence for the perpetual virginity of the Theotokos, tell them to read the Bible. It's in Ezekiel, all over the place, not to mention many other places in the Old Testament. And so, like the mighty river flowing from the east gate of the temple, coming forth from the womb of the Virgin in the mystery of Christmas, he sails down into the region of the Gerasenes, the region and shadow of death. When we read the gospel events of the Lord Jesus in the spirit of the prophets and of the church, which is Christ's body, we no longer read them as mere events, but rather we read them as epiphanies of the Word of God coming to be in the flesh and dwelling among us. In other words, the Word of God dwelling among us in his holy temple, the Theotokos, healing and raising to life the world he created, even creating it anew and sanctifying it, justifying it, or making it to be righteous, that is, to making it to be alive and coming to dwell in those who receive him, so that it is no longer they who live, but Christ who lives in them, transfiguring their body into his holy temple, and their inner man into the Holy of Holies, in whom he who is the resurrection and the life can abide, creating in them a clean heart and putting a new and right spirit within them. It says that as soon as he came upon the earth, you could say, as soon as he was born of the Virgin Mary and appeared on the earth, it says, he was met by a certain man from out of the city, having demons, who for a long time had not worn a garment or lived in a house, but he abided in the tombs. That is to say that the man was naked. He's a son of Adam and Eve, whose eyes were opened by their disobedience. And what did they see when their eyes were opened? They saw that they were no longer wearing the robe of glory, the Holy Spirit with which they had been clothed at their creation, but they were now naked. They had no garment. It is in the tombs nearest the shore, outside the city, and down beyond the swine fields up on the mountain where the action takes place this morning. The spiritual reading of this I take from St. Macarius the Egyptian. He was in the 4th century. In this homily that I am about to quote, he is preaching to his monastic brothers, and his reference is the Lord's Pascha. But hear how it fits this morning's gospel, which tells us that this morning's gospel is a paschal gospel, but it also suggests that Pascha is the setting of the Lord's incarnation, his teaching, and all his mighty works of healing and deliverance, so that Pascha is the setting of his conception and birth from the Theotokos and his whole life on earth. This is what St. Macarius is preaching. So put yourselves back to the 4th century and set alongside the monastic brethren who are hearing this homily from St. Macarius. He says, "Death keeps fast hold of the souls of Adam, and the thoughts of the soul lie imprisoned in the darkness. When you hear of sepulchres, do not think only of visible ones. Your own heart is a sepulchre and a tomb. When the prince of wickedness and his angels burrow there and make paths and thoroughfares there, on which the powers of Satan walk into your mind and thoughts, are you not a hell, a tomb, a sepulchre, a dead man towards God? A fountain of mire springs there. But the Lord comes into the souls that seek after him." Think of this morning's gospel. "There came out from the city a certain man to meet him, the demoniac. But the Lord comes into souls that seek after him, into the deep of the heart hell, and there lays his command upon death, saying, Bring out the imprisoned souls that are seeking after me, which you detain by force. So he breaks through the heavy stones that lie on the soul, opens the sepulchres, raises up the man that is dead indeed, brings out of the dark jail the imprisoned soul. So the Lord looses from her bonds the soul that is bound with the chains of death, and he lets her go and sets her mind free to walk at ease and unhindered into God's fragrant air. What does it say at the end of this morning's gospel? They found the man from whom the demons had come out sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed with what? The robe of glory, and in his right mind. Brothers and sisters, note that the Lord is found in this morning's gospel outside the city, even in the tombs. That's where he's found, in the tombs. In other words, in the tomb of our heart, where we are deep beyond all things, where we are at the shore or the edge, where this earthly life bounded by death opens onto the deep of the abyss. It doesn't say in our gospel this morning what precisely this abyss is, but it says in our prayers, in the prayers of the church, it is the abyss of the Lord's compassion. It is the mighty river of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a cleansing fire that burns the chaff and the stinking impurities of death and corruption. While the bush that is the Theotokos, it does not consume. She and those born from above as her children, it makes radiant with the glory that is the light of Christ, in whom is the life of men. Those who love the darkness more than the light fear this fire. They fear this abyss. The demons hate it. The townspeople, they are those who love the abyss, who love the darkness. They have united themselves to the darkness. So their minds have become swineherds, tending their swine, their idols, on the paths and thoroughfares of the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so they fear the darkness. They fear what's in their heart. And so they never make their way to their heart. They stay in the city, living in their houses, hiding behind their urbane niceness and civility, going to church on Sundays, and hiding behind their religious appearance, even their moral rectitude and their good citizenry. But though we live in the city, we are rooted in our heart, so that even in the city, we are imprisoned by our passions, because we tend swine, the passions, in the tomb of our heart. Attend to what goes on inside of you when you are assaulted by one of the passions: gluttony, lust, anger, or even more subtle passions of envy, vainglory, and pride. Look at what happens in you. Look what's going on inside of you. Are we not in our inner man exactly like this morning's demoniac? When we are assaulted by a passion, and when we give in to it, even if we don't give in to it, it's awfully hard not to give in to it. But when we are assaulted by a passion, it's like no chain of propriety can hold us when we indulge the passion. It wants to seize us, and the garments of civility are torn away as it drives us into the desert. In other words, into ourselves, away from family and loved ones. And it torments us until it is born and made incarnate as a word and a deed, and we live in the tombs. We live in the darkness of loneliness, fear, anxiety, confusion, depression, guilt, and shame. Brothers and sisters, coming to the temple this morning, you have come to the body of Christ. You have come out of the city. And sitting here, standing here, you are in the tomb, but you're in the tomb of the Lord. which is the beginning, the font of our resurrection and our life in Christ. Simply by coming here, you stand in his presence. And simply in his presence, darkness is illumined and the demons scatter. Those who cling to the Lord are loosed from the bonds that hold them. The tomb of the church is empty. That is to say, she's empty of death, of darkness, of evil. But she is filled with the uncreated light of God, in whom is the life of men, the light that heals and cleanses and makes alive, that burns away all that is earthly in us, everything that is of sickness and death and corruption. We too are plunged into the abyss. But if we have come out with the demoniac, and not with the townspeople, if we have come out with the demoniac to meet Jesus in the tomb of our heart, and not to chase him away with the townspeople, we experience this abyss as the abyss of God's compassion that swallows our death and all the demons and impurities that are in it, leaving us seated at the Lord's feet, clothed in his robe of glory in our right mind. So, dear faithful, as we round the bend on our way to Bethlehem, let us come to ourselves. Where are we living? Yes, we live in the city. But where are we living in our heart, in our soul, in the inner man? Where are we living beneath the veneer of our niceness? Where are we living? Are we living in the city, unhealed? Or are we living in our heart, where the Lord is found, delivering us and healing us? And where we can be, and where we can be found, if we have received him and not chased him away, where we can be found seated and clothed and in our right mind. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.